In Philippians, the fourth chapter, the last chapter of this letter that Paul wrote to the Christians at Philippi, we find that Paul gave exhortations or encouragement that are both specific and general in nature. In verses 1 through 3, Paul went ahead and gave some specific encouragement to the brethren there, to some individuals who are at Philippi. But beginning in verse 4, he turned it so that he's giving more general exhortations to Christians, and that would mean to us today. These things are certainly needful for Christians. But in verse 4, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice." Sometimes when we read about this and when we hear lessons about this, we may think that it's something sort of contrite or something that is just a saying. You know, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. But Paul definitely wasn't meaning for this to just be some byword or saying or contrite expression that we would just tell each other and to, you know, try to encourage each other to rejoice. I think he had more meaning behind this than maybe we put behind it. You may recall that joy, which is basically the root word of this word rejoice, which is, you know, the verb of expressing that joy, it's the keynote, essentially, of this whole letter to the church at Philippi. Joy. No less than 16 times in this letter, Paul used this word or a derivation of it. In Philippians chapter 1, he used it at least 4 times. In chapter 2, at least 7 times. In chapter 3, 1 time. And this last chapter, 4 times. So in this study, we want to make a few observations about how we are and can rejoice in the Lord always. Let's first notice that Paul says that we are to rejoice always. When we think of the word always, it seems like a really long time, or it seems like a lot of times. And it is. You know, when Paul said this, he didn't mean that this was something that was just to be an occasional experience, or something that was only for a special set of people or an exceptional people who were able to somehow obtain joy always. In darkness as well as in light, in trials as well as in triumphs, Paul would encourage Christians to rejoice always. In Romans chapter 5 and verses 3 and 4, Paul would say that we need to glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. And again, this isn't just for a special set of people. It wasn't just for the apostles to encourage themselves and say, hey, we need to rejoice always. But Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, would encourage the brethren in his general letter, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy." Let's consider the example of Paul, who found joy always. Paul found joy in his prayers. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 4, he said that always in every prayer of his, he made request for the Christians at Philippi with joy. Paul found joy always in the proclamation of the gospel, even under adverse circumstances. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 18, he would say, "What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice. Yes, and will rejoice. Paul said that he could rejoice always in the unity of the saints. In chapter 2 of Philippians, verse 2, he said, "Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." Paul could rejoice always in the prospect of being a martyr for Christ. In Philippians, the second chapter as well, in verse 17, he said, "Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all." And Paul said that he could rejoice always in the love of the brethren. In chapter 4 and verse 10 of Philippians, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity." So we see in this letter that Paul wrote to the brethren at Philippi that he gave his own examples of how he could rejoice always in several things that had to do with that congregation. But we also find that not only are we encouraged to rejoice always, but that this rejoicing and abiding joy is found in the Lord. In this life, we have many, many opportunities to partake in joys, joyful things. But in this life, we must realize that they are temporary. The joy that's found in this life can at most be a fleeting thing. There's a lot of things that people in general find joy in. They find joy in drugs and alcohol and tobacco. They find joy in pleasures, in entertainment, whether they're lawful or unlawful. People find joy in material acquisitions, material things. But when we look at these kind of things that some people believe bring them joy, they are at best like the riches described in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 5, where Solomon wrote, "Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven." At best, they are like riches that fly away, that are fleeting. And at worst, they are like what Moses was offered. As we read in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25, when it was said of Moses that he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. These things in life, indeed, can bring us some form of joy. But it isn't an abiding joy. And these things are not a joy that Paul would encourage us to have that is in the Lord. The joy that abides is only in the Lord. It's that which comes from our personal and living and fruitful relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. For in the Lord, we enjoy peace with God through Christ. In Romans chapter 5 and verses 1 and 2, Paul wrote, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. This joy that abides in the Lord helps us in temptations. Being in the Lord is a help in time of temptations. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. So being in the Lord helps us with our temptations. Being in the Lord is an assurance of God's companionship in time of trials. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. We are encouraged to let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? These are the kind of things that provide true, lasting, and abiding joy in which we can rejoice in. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be able to experience this abiding joy? Why do we sometimes then, we who have a personal relationship with Christ, often find ourselves lacking joy always and in all circumstances? Maybe it's because that there are hindrances in this life to abiding joy. Memories of past failures and an awareness of our present faults can be a hindrance to our abiding joy. These things often leave people in a state of discouragement or depression. Paul, however, provides a solution in the third chapter of Philippians, verses 12 through 14. In Paul's example, he says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We can realize our imperfections and yet press on to better things, Paul would encourage. We can forget our past failures and reach forward to future successes. Another hindrance of abiding joy may be our natural temperament, our disposition. Some people are just naturally melancholy. It could be that that's the way God created them. It could be that it's through the environmental influences that they've had in their life or when they were growing up. But I'm thankful that we can't use these kind of things as excuses not to be encouraged by what Paul would write to us, and that we should rejoice in the Lord always. Because in Christ, we can be transformed. God has that power, and it's a wonderful power. We avail of ourselves when we get in Christ. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. Paul wrote, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This transformation in Christ allows us to produce the fruits of the Spirit, and these include joy. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Another hindrance of this abiding joy that we can find in this life are depressing circumstances. It's easy to be joyful when everything is going well, but sometimes things go wrong. However, we see from the Scriptures that even in those times, we can rejoice if we have the right perspective. In James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, James wrote this letter to our brethren back then. He said, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." And finally, something that could hinder our ability to have an abiding joy in the Lord is other people around us. But certainly a compassionate heart cannot be untouched by the hardships of others. And in fact, in Romans chapter 12 and verse 15, we are advised to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Sometimes these kind of things can hinder our ability to rejoice in the Lord always. And yet, properly spoken words of comfort and counsel can provide a joyful reprieve from the hardships that others bear. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 24 reads this way, "Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones." Rejoice in the Lord always. This doesn't mean that we are to be insensitive to the harsh realities of life, but it does mean that we try not to let them affect us in regards to our rejoicing in the Lord, in what He's done for us, and what He's given to us in this life, and what He's allowed us to be able to do to help other people. It doesn't mean that we are not to let the dark realities of this life blind us to the radiance of joy that is found in the Lord. That's our lesson for this evening. This time we are going to offer the invitation. Jesus said that all who are in need of Him could come to Him. And so at this time, let us sing this song while we stand.